This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard.
Jan Walker was a community college instructor in Washington State when she was asked to take up a new post teaching family and parenting skills at a federal prison. She agreed to do it for 1 year.
She went on to teach in men's and women's prisons for 18 years and continued to volunteer after retirement. In a new book, she shares her experiences and makes a case for the value of education to help inmates make a successful transition to life outside of prison.
Jan Walker is with us now. Her new book is Unlocking Minds in Lockup. Prison Education Opens Doors. Jan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, what happened to make you change your mind and stay with prison education programs for 18 years, not just one?
Well, when I went inside, first of all, it was actually state prisons where I taught, but my first experience going inside was a federal prison, and that was rather discouraging. But when I went into the women's prison, a state prison in Washington, and saw the need of those women, I found it impossible to quit after a year, regardless of my own interests at the time. Their needs were great enough that I felt I had been sent there by some power beyond my own.
A lot of what you taught had to do with parenting skills. How common is it for inmates to be parents?
Well, a large percentage of them are parents, probably about 75% overall. With women, it's even higher than that. And most of those women are younger women, so they have children that are minor ages and ranging from newborns. There are a number of children born in prison every year. I don't know if you knew that, but they range from infancy then up through the years. And at the time I started teaching inside, the prison programs were very much based on programs offered by community college to parents who could participate on a daily basis. Of course, that wasn't possible for women who are incarcerated. So that's why I got interested in working on developing materials to meet their needs.
Now, when I think of prison education, what pops into mind is, you know, trades, job skills, maybe high school equivalency, college. Why is it important to have these kind of programs in things like family, parenting, social skills?
The first place that most of the people who leave prison are going to go is back to their family. They need somewhere to a light where they can have daily care. Most states and federal prisons release inmates with a very small amount of money. At one time, I think it was $40 gate money in the state of Washington. So an offender had $40 to release and find his way or her way back into the world. And so family has long been stated as probably the most important factor in how former felon is going to reintegrate in society. They need that support desperately.
One huge question that inmates who are parents face is how to explain their situation to their children. What kind of advice, what kind of training did you give inmates and how to do that?
Well, it was interesting that a lot of them told fantastic stories. They could have been novelists about where they were and why. And, of course, then what happens is it closes any roots of communication between the inmate parent and family or children. And so I started them looking at making a very simple statement about what prison is about. So their explanation would simply start with, I broke an adult rule, or I broke an adult crime, or I broke a crime if the child is old enough to understand that. Second sentence, simply, prison is my consequence, or jail is my consequence, and then always end that with saying to the child that it's not the child's fault, because children tend to blame themselves when a parent is suddenly absent from their lives.
But the key there, it sounds like, is not a euphemism, not a story to protect the child from the reality, having an age-appropriate but real explanation.
Absolutely, because children often figure it out. They know. They overhear discussions in the household where they're being reared, and that isn't going to matter whether it's grandparents or an auntie taking care of the children. It happens also in foster care. Someone says something about mom or dad, the parent being in prison, and children start putting it together. So it's always best to start out by talking to them as honestly as possible. And it's not easy for the inmate parent, but once they get the knack of it, it makes a huge difference.
Talking to Jan Walker, she spent 18 years working as an instructor in prisons in Washington State, has volunteered in that capacity since her retirement as well. Her new book is Unlocking Minds in Lockup. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Jan, where do you start with a parent who's in prison, training them in those family skills that they're going to need when they leave?
Well, the interesting thing I learned almost immediately is one of the things they needed was a sense of the law, the legal matters pertaining to parenting and to all domestic or family relationships in their state. Because when they're away from their children, someone needs to be caring for the children, and we have federal and state laws that provide funding and provisions for health care and for other needs that children will have. And before they could really begin to work on their own parenting skills and how they might do better with their children from a distance and also when they return, was to have a clear idea of the law. And so I made that part of the coursework.
And one question that comes up is, in many cases, a child might not know this parent well or at all. If they were born, as you say, in prison, they may have had little or no contact with a parent. And you write about teaching some of the inmates how to reach out and introduce themselves to their kids. How do they do that?
Well, if the child has at least an awareness that there is a parent that is not in the home where they're growing up, the parent just needs to start writing simple letters based on the child's level of understanding, and also one must keep in mind with permission of the persons who are caring for the child, because if there's conflict between the incarcerated parent and the caregivers, the information will not get to the child. But simply starting to tell stories, I believe very much in the power of story, and if a mom or dad who's incarcerated can begin writing a little bit about their memories of what they were doing when the child was born or when the child was being expected, or if they did have any very early interaction before the child's memory, which could not happen much before age 3, they might have an inkling of but not really remember a parent. And storytelling that hooks or connects the child and parent is a positive way for the parent to begin.
And bigger picture, Jan, you went in and you write this not really understanding how prison worked, what life was like in there. How did your experience over the years change your idea about incarcerated people?
Well, it didn't take long for me to realize that it's humanity in a microcosm, that the people I worked with became students when they walked into a classroom inside prison. And I think probably most people who teach inside prisons would tell you the same, that once an incarcerated person can leave the general population long enough to go into a classroom, they can find their own humanity. They have a better opportunity to function as a person in their own right rather than as someone having to uphold any image they might have developed as being a con or being tough or being part of a gang. When I saw that, when I saw that these people look just like my own children perhaps, or neighbors, friends, family members, I could see them in a light separate from their crime. And I, in most cases, did not need to know their crime. However, most of them wanted to talk about it. But I could just meet them as students and treat them as such, and that made a lot of difference.
We're talking to Jan Walker about her experience teaching in prisons. Her new book is Unlocking Minds in Lockup, Prison Education Opens Doors. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been a part of this story as an inmate, an educator, a social worker, or a correctional officer? What do you see as the value of educational programs in prison? And what questions do you have for our guest about her experience? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We continue our conversation with Jan Walker, author of Unlocking Minds in Lockup. In the book, she tells the story of her 18 years as an educator in men's and women's prisons.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question for our guest about what it was like to teach in prison? Or have you been a part of this as an inmate, a social worker, an educator, or a correctional officer? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers with Costa in Janesville. Costa, hi.
Hi there. How are you doing? I've been in corrections for 18 years. I've been a correctional officer, a guidance counselor at a prison school, and I'm now a probation agent altogether 18 years. And I would like to mention a phenomenon that I've noticed, which is when a parent becomes an inmate who used to be highly important on the family. He was the main breadwinner, etc. When he goes away, the rank in the family changes. The mother becomes the head of the family, and an older boy, for example, will become the man of the house. Hmm. When the inmate parent returns, the ranks are kind of shuffled all over. The woman goes from being an independent woman to being, again, second in command, I guess, to the main breadwinner, and the older boy might become third in rank. So I've seen a little conflict with the inmate parent returning and expecting everything to be the way it was before.
Very interesting, and Costa. Thank you so much. And Jan, is that something that you worked on inmates with, making that transition, re-entering a different family than they left, maybe, in a way?
Absolutely, because the family dynamics do change, and there will always be some level of conflict. There probably is what might be called a honeymoon period for most families when a parent goes home from prison. But one of the things I taught and wrote about in the parenting book that I have been keeping updated for the last 25 years or so, I have a section on contracts for forgiveness and work with parents who are preparing to go home to find ways to fit back into the family and to have realistic expectations. That one of who's really in charge and who can tell children what is expected of them is a very major problem. And so we did contracts in the classroom. I taught that. And then when I was volunteering inside, when we worked with families of inmates who came inside to work with their, in that case it was inmate daughter, we had them make contracts so that everyone sort of had an idea of where they stood from the beginning. An inmate parent cannot go home and assume that they're going to pick up where they left off. And children, being children, are going to rebel if a parent that has been away tries to tell them that they can or must do something or they cannot. It's just expected that the children will have some resistance. And so everyone has to work on how that is going to work. And I think contracts are absolutely essential. I know it sounds a little formal for family, but it's an important part of returning from being a distant parent to being, again, a hands-on parent.
Costa, thanks so much for bringing up that that issue. We'll go next to Elaine in Princeton. Elaine, hi.
Hi. I'm calling about there's a 65-year-old man. He's a family member, and he's in prison, and he has adult children. Now, when he gets released, he has nowhere to go. His family has completely cut him off. There isn't even any contact. Is there any way classes or something would help him to recommunicate with his children?
Elaine, thanks for that call. Jan, I know you may not be familiar with resources here in Wisconsin, but do you have advice for that situation, an older inmate estranged from adult children?
Well, I do believe that the incarcerated parent, regardless of age of the children, has to make the first move to try to reach out. If, in fact, the doors are closed and are not going to open, that person has to make other plans. And as you say, I don't know what's available in Wisconsin, but generally before anyone is released from a prison, their case management program inside prison will be working with them about where they're going to be released to. And in some cases, there may not be anyone that will take them. But generally, churches and other social organizations are available to help. I would also say that if a family has said absolutely no more, they want nothing to do with that person, the person may need to be working on the fact that that's reality, because sometimes the family on the outside have been hurt or burned so badly they are not willing to negotiate.
Elaine, thanks for that call, and good luck to you and your family. Jan, as we wrap up, you write also about the role of prison, and one of the roles being rehabilitation, which the education is part of. Do we not put enough emphasis, though, on rehabilitation in our correction system?
We have not for the last many years. Once the mandatory minimum and three strikes laws were enacted, most of the budget for offering programs, including educational programs and in some cases job skill building, disappeared from prisons, and people had more time to do nothing inside. And that's when a lot of complaints were being heard across the country about just men, especially just working out on the weight pile, building bigger muscles and becoming stronger and more likely to be harmful to someone when they got out. Right now, with this interest in criminal justice reform that starts with our president and spreads across the country, we need to also look at prison education reform, because it's a two-pronged situation. Inmates, offenders need to have programming while they're inside to prepare them for when they're leaving, and that includes all sorts of education, because many of them go into prison at very low levels below fourth grade, but also there are many that go in with college educational backgrounds. And so we need a variety of programs available, and we need job skill training. And job skill training begins with offenders who have been doing a lot of time with simply learning how to be on time when they are involved in any kind of programming. But education is a major need inside prisons, and I believe that we're seeing it start to grow again, partly as a result of the RAND Corporation study that showed for every dollar spent inside on education, it saved $5 taxpayer dollars on recidivism costs. I'm hoping that some of the things I write about in Unlocking Minds and Lockup will give clues to other people to the kinds of programs that can be successful with inmate students, because they are interested in learning. And once they have an opportunity, most of them progress quite rapidly.
And we'll leave it there. Jan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That's Jan Walker. Her new book is Unlocking Minds in Lockup: Prison Education Opens Doors.